1 Corinthians 15:1, and we'll read a verse or two of Scripture. Verse number 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for this week. I pray, Father, in this time that these folks of this church have been faithful through the years. I pray, Father, now as they take another step of faith for another year, that you would speak to hearts and lives, encourage them, strengthen them, challenge them. Maybe some that have not been involved will get involved. Maybe some that have thought they knew what they were going to do will have to rethink that and take another step of faith. Lord, you know what each and every one of us need to do today. We pray, Father, most of all, that you'd speak to our lives through your word and use this day for your honor and glory, and we'll thank you and praise you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, God, and through the Holy Spirit, inspires Paul to write something, and he writes it very clear, very plain. He explains to us what the gospel is. Now, I know I won't take long to get here, but it's interesting. He said, "Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," verse 1, "which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." And then what's he say? "By which also ye are saved." If you're saved today and you know that you're going to go to heaven, it is because of one thing. It is because of what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Amen. And he goes on later and explains. He said that the gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if you have been given that, and you have received that, and you have believed that, now you stand in that. Amen. You stand there. Somebody said, I heard a preacher say one day, he said, "If it's not true, I'm going to stand there until eternity comes and let God sort it out." But it is true, amen, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that night, on May the 20th, 1972, at the altar of the West Milford Baptist Church, a young 16-year-old boy believed that, trusted it, received it, and it changed my life. Amen. I've not been the same since. Why? Because I know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know. Amen? It's not a maybe so, hope so, hold on to the end, salvation. Hey, listen, since May the 20th, 1972, I've been on my way to heaven. Amen? I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm as sure there today as if I was already there. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm saved today. And so we understand the gospel. We understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. But notice a little word in here. He says this. He said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." I want you to keep that in mind. Paul said, "I've received this." But he said, "I delivered unto you." Now, we're going to come back to that in a minute. But I want you to think about something today. Go, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter 5, what is the consequences of the gospel getting to the world? What is the consequences of the gospel getting to the world? You say, is there consequences of the gospel getting to the world? Yes, it is. And a pastor's talking about it. It's our job as a church to get the gospel to the world. We understand the gospel, but what are the consequences? Well, you get to Revelation chapter 5, and in verse number 9, he says this. He said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." Now, God said, here's the consequences of the gospel, but not only the consequences of the gospel, but the challenge of the gospel. He said, I am not going to be satisfied that there's just some people from Mexico saved. Amen? He said, there has to be people from Mexico, not just people that that are Mexicans, but the brother here talked to us this morning about how that there's different indigenous people in Mexico. There's different classes, if you want to say that, in the society of Mexico. So God said, I'm not satisfied to just some people from some places, but every indigenous Mexican people that maybe speaks a little different of the Spanish language, that has their own dialect. Amen. I'm from West Virginia. We have our own English dialect. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, somebody asked me one day, I said, go over and stand by that far. Amen. Well, they said, where's that at? I said, it's not far from here. Amen. Same word. Amen. Hey, listen, you go to the Philippine Islands, and in the Philippine Islands, there's over 97 million, well, there's approaching 100 million people in the Philippine Islands. The main language of the nation is Tagalog. I've been in places where they spoke Tagalog. I've been in places where they spoke Ilonggo. I've been in places where they spoke Cebuano. I've been in places where they spoke the combination of the three. I've been in places where they spoke something that wasn't even close to any of the three. They say that there's probably in excess of 100 different dialects of languages in the Philippine Islands. And God said, I'm not satisfied until there's somebody from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Hello? Seems like an awful big job, amen. Now, can I tell you that some of it's already been done, but yet there's much yet to be accomplished. But the consequences are, and I won't read the rest of it. You go to chapter 7, he says it again. You go to chapter 14, he says it again in the book of Revelation, that there's going to be people in heaven from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So our job is to get the gospel to those people. Amen? Now watch this. Go with me a little farther. So how does that get accomplished? How does that get accomplished? Take your Bible to Acts chapter 15. Now here's where we begin to get into Scripture. Acts chapter 15. Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I also received. Go to Acts chapter 15 and we'll make a statement to you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ goes nowhere by itself. Think about that. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ goes nowhere by itself. Right there is the truth of the Word of God, the Scriptures, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have it. You say, well, they need it in Kathmandu, Nepal. They need it in the Philippines. They need it in Kazakhstan. They need it in Afghanistan. How's it going to get there? Well, there it is. Go. The gospel goes nowhere by itself. How does it get there? Acts chapter 15 begins to instruct us about that. In verse number 7, this is Peter talking, and he said, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the gospel, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. If you read all of Acts chapter 15, they're having a big dissension, a big dispute about the fact that the Gentiles now have the gospel and could be saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews were trying to impose some things on them to basically make them become Jews before they could get saved. And Peter said, let me just put an end to this, folks, that a great while ago, God made choice among us that by my mouth, he said, the gospel should be preached. The word of God should be preached to the Gentiles. What is Peter saying? He said, God said the gospel's got to get there, but how's the gospel going to get there? Somebody has to take it. That's why Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore into all the world. Amen. He said in Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because the gospel goes nowhere by itself. Yesterday was a practical explanation, an example of that. When folks, all of us gathered here together, and we had God, and the preacher gave us a whole handful of those door knockers, he said, why was those door hangers such a big deal? Well, it had the gospel on the back of it, amen. And see, you said, well, we want the gospel to go to all those houses, and we had over 2,000 of them laying right here. But the only way they got to that house is somebody had to deliver it, amen. Somebody had to walk up to that house and deliver to them the gospel. Nepal will not get the gospel till somebody delivers it to him. Mexico and places where this brother and his wife are going will not get the gospel till somebody literally carries it, delivers it to them. Amen. Now watch. I just want to show you some more scripture because it gets to be fun. Go to Acts chapter 16. So what happens in after Acts chapter 15, you go to Acts chapter 16, and you know what happens in Acts chapter 16. Paul has an encounter with God, and he says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And what happens? They leave and go. The first place they get to is Philippi. Hey, what happens? That Philippian jailer later in this passage of scripture gets saved and all of his house and everything happens in his life. Why? How did that man get saved? Because Paul delivered unto him. He carried to him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go one more passage of scripture, Romans chapter 16. Now, this is all the introduction to the one point of the message, so smile, amen. You say, when you get to that one point, what's going to happen? It's going to be about done, amen. Romans chapter 10, and this double vision gets me in trouble sometimes. Romans chapter 10, we know what this says in verse number 10, that he said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and verse 13, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But verse number 14, he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they what? And then he says this, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Can I tell you, the neighborhood my wife and I went through yesterday, we talked to a couple people, not too many people, but I got news for you, was people were driving up and down the streets, they were looking at us, and what they didn't realize is the most beautiful feet they ever would have experienced in their life was walking down their sidewalk. Amen? How beautiful are the feet of them that, what? Preach the gospel. See, that's our job, is to deliver to them the gospel. And the only way it's going to happen is somebody has to send them. How shall they preach except they be sent? Now, one other passage of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. What did Paul do to encourage these Christians at 2 Corinthians, in the book of 2 Corinthians? He said, when you get involved, he said, here's what will happen. Your faith shall increase. And he says in verse number 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And not to boast of another man's things made ready to our hand. So God has a plan. Amen. Come on, you all got to be with me. You're going to miss everything right here, amen. And if you talk to me, we'll get out of here quicker, amen. 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 So God has a plan. The plan is Nepal, Uruguay, Mexico, Kazakhstan, Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever country you want to mention in your life needs the gospel. But the only way it's going to get there is somebody has to take it. Amen? Somebody has to take it, and somebody has to deliver it. Now, here's my friend, amen? I love Amazon. Somebody say amen. I love Amazon. You say, what do you like about Amazon? After 5 years of working in retail business before the Lord put me in the ministry and going through five Christmas rushes and five times people, you know, were lined up and complaining about this and that and everything else, I thank God I don't have to go to a store no more. Amen? Unless I want to. But here's the thing. You know, you can sit there at your house and you can go online and you can look at Amazon. You can find what you want. And so you click the little button that says, put that in your shopping cart. Now, don't look at me like you don't do this. Try to be super spiritual. So you get down and you say, okay, now I've got everything I want. You know, I got a notification today that something we'd ordered for our granddaughter, hey, they said it will be delivered on Wednesday. So I thought, that's exciting. We finally got it done. So you put it in the cart and you're done. You go over there and it says, okay, now I want to check out. And so it gives you the total of what you have. And the first thing they ask you, though, is where you want it delivered. Right? And then they ask you how you're going to pay for it. Amen? But then they ask you this question. You want to deliver it today? Tomorrow? And you have to choose how you want it delivered, and how you choose to have it delivered depends on the amount of the delivery fee. Now, let me clue you in. You can order whatever you want on Amazon. They can put it in a box, have it taped with your name and address on it, but until you agree to pay the delivery fee, it's going to sit there. Hey, there's a UPS truck backed up to the dock. They may be a FedEx truck backed up to the other side of that dock. Who knows? So they may be a U.S. Postal Service truck backed up there. They are people ready to deliver your package. Prepared to deliver your package. That's given their life and their vocation to deliver your package. What is the hinging factor on whether you get what you ordered is whether you pay the delivery fee. Now, I'm going to run this rabbit trail. You say, well, I got Amazon Prime. I don't pay delivery fees. Wake up. Amazon Prime is not free. Amen? In fact, it went up this year. Amen. The price of Amazon Prime, amen. And so it's not free, amen. When Walmart says they ship it for free, let me tell you something. You're paying for it somewhere, amen. Nothing. Hey, if you haven't figured it out in this world yet, figure this out, son. When it says it's free, it's not really free. Somebody paid for it, amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? God has the gospel. He has a whole warehouse full of the gospel. Grace Baptist Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio is a storehouse distribution center for the gospel. Amazon doesn't have one big warehouse. They've got distribution centers all over this country. They've got places now in California and places where you ordered from there. Then they pick it up on a drone and fly it to your house and land it on your porch and drop it off. I'd like to see him do that in West Virginia, amen. Some guy would say, oh, look at that bird. Boom, buddy. Oh, cook that one up, Maul. Amen. You never know, man. Well, look at that. It's got something free. Came with a pair of shoes, amen. You never know. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? God has prepared the delivery man. Come here, brother. God says, I want the gospel delivered to Mexico. And God has sent by Grace Baptist Church this week a delivery man for the gospel to Mexico. Hang on, it's my sermon. Just stay there and behave yourself. Amen. He's ready. What is he waiting on? He's waiting on us to pay the delivery fee. See, preacher, what does faith promise? Faith promises you and I paying the delivery fee to get the gospel delivered to Mexico. Pretty simple, isn't it? You say, why is that so important? Because when you order something off Amazon, you don't pay for it with your tithe. If you did, God's going to get you, amen? You don't use your tithe to pay for that. You use money over and above your tithe. See, missions is not your tithe. Missions is money over and above your tithe. And so God's ready. He said, I've got a delivery man. I've got the gospel prepared. Him and his family's ready to go. And he said he's backed up to the storehouse. He's backed up to the dock. What's he waiting on? They're dying every day without the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he waiting on? He's waiting on you and I to decide whether we're going to pay the delivery fee or not. Amen? Now, thank you, brother. Now, here's the thing I want you to think about today. Did you ever order that thing off the internet that you just had to have? At least you thought you had to have it. And you couldn't wait for 2 days or 3 days. So there's a little button on there that says overnight. And it's like 4 or 5 times what regular shipping is. But you know what? My iPhone would look a whole lot better with that new cover on it. And it's $4.50 for the cover. But it's $12.50 to deliver tomorrow to your house.
But I just gotta have it.
Hello? So what do? You pay that expediting fee, that extra shipping fee. Let me ask you a question today. What's more valuable and more urgent to get to the world, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christest, or what you want from your online distributor? Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I also received. He got it. But Paul said, how can we go except we be sent? You go back to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, let me tell you about this church at Philippi. He said, when I departed from Macedonia, at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated unto me in giving and receiving, but ye only. He said, for once and again, in Thessalonica, you sent unto my need, my necessity in Thessalonica. So they did it over and over and over again. And that's when Paul did what the pastor talked about. He said, not because we desire a gift, we desire fruit that abounds to your account. Amen. Can I tell you what, folks? I don't argue with Amazon and all these people about it. Hey, I told you I got that email today. Our granddaughter, she turned 14, didn't she? Oh, man. She turned 14 a few weeks ago, and there was one particular thing we wanted for her, and it was not in stock. And so I ordered it, and we told her as soon as it gets there, they're ready, it'll get to you, and you'll have it. I didn't argue with them about it. You know why? Because I love that little girl. We were one time, you know, we got into this thing one time, and we're still doing it. That's all right. We don't care. But when the grandkids started coming, and by the way, grandkids is your reward for not killing your kids. Amen. Amen. And grandkids, we should have had them first. Amen. But anyhow, you know, the grandkids started coming along. And so we come up with this idea that we told the parents that, look, when Easter rolls around, we'll buy the Easter outfits for the grandkids. Grandma and grandpa will. So when we had one, it wasn't bad. And we had two, it wasn't bad. Now that we've got five, it's a little more expensive. And they get older, the more older they get, the more expensive they get. Amen. You used to buy them little frilly dresses when they're babies. Now they got to have these whole outfits, you know, like, rah. But anyhow, we have a granddaughter in New Hampshire. And she's a sweetie. And so one year, we looked and we looked and we looked and we couldn't find it. And we finally found the Easter dress we thought she'd like. So we took a picture of it, sent it to the parents. They said, yep, that'll work, you know. And so we got it. And so now we got it, but we're not in New Hampshire. We have no intentions or no opportunity to go through New Hampshire. So I told my wife, I said, let's go right down to the UPS office and let's mail this thing. When that guy looked at me and told me what it would cost to mail it and what it would cost to mail it was more than what the dress was worth. And I said, mail it. He said, you said mail it? Yeah. Because I love that little girl. And there's no cost too great for something I love. God demonstrated that to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hey, no price was too great for God to get us the gospel. Why are we arguing with God about faith promise and getting the gospel to a lost and dying world? Hey, preacher, you said, I can't afford to get any more to faith promise. I can't afford to do any more. What do you love more than you love the lost souls of men and women around this world? Preacher, if I give any more money to missions, I won't be able to do this. If I give any more money to missions, I won't be able to do this. Let me tell you about a God that we serve. He said, if you do what I ask you to do, I'm not only, he's such a wonderful God. I don't have time, but go read 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I think it is at 27 and 28. And David's getting ready to build the temple and he's getting ready to hand it over. He's not going to build it. He's going to hand it over to Solomon to build it. And he's getting the nation of Israel to give money towards that project. And he gets down there and he says, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to do such a thing? Go back there and read it. And then he made this statement. He said, of thine own property, he said, hey, we have given back. He said, the Lord giveth and we're just giving back to God what he gave us. And then God blessed them for doing it. Isn't he such a wonderful God? He said, I'll tell you what you do. You give me what I ask you to give, and I'm going to bless you for doing it. Huh? And God's not a debtor. Read the Bible. God's not a debtor to no man. Amen? He will not leave you without what you need. That's why Paul went on to say in Philippians chapter 4, when he talked about that giving, he said, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what your problem is? You're trying to comprehend the supply of God compared to the supply of the American economy, the American government. God is not limited in what he can do. I have something particularly right now I'm praying that I'm asking God to do for me. You say, what are you waiting on? I'm just waiting on him to do it. Now, I have this tendency to run ahead of God. Amen? Because you ask my wife, if I'd had my way, I'd have went out 2 or 3 weeks ago and bought it. Amen? Because what I'm asking him for would assist my ability to do more hunting this fall. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I love to hunt. Amen. But what I'm asking him for would assist in doing that a whole lot easier with my health situation. So I'm asking God to do this. And and hunting season starts 2 weeks from yesterday. So I reminded God he has 14 days. Amen? Amen. And my tendency was, I just go buy it, borrow the money, buy it, and then let God pay it back. Amen? Y'all never did that, did you? Now you have payments for a whole bunch of stuff that God didn't tell you to buy. God said, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. Why? If you'd just be willing to pay the delivery fee. Does it make sense to anybody but me? He said, I don't understand faith promise. If you don't understand it after this, I don't know if you ever understand it. That this is simply us paying the delivery fee. Now here's the blessing of it, and I'm done. We go back to the verses I talked about before. And when that gospel gets delivered, people get saved. I think it was probably, 2 years ago? Maybe a little over. We were in Tallahassee, Florida. I was preaching for a good friend of mine, Brother Irving Clark, and he gets up and he said, "Preacher," on Sunday morning, and he said, "I got something I want you." He said, "You're really going to enjoy." And I said, "Okay." So as the morning service started, they had a young lady came up, and she's going to give her testimony. Her name was Mim. Mim is from Myanmar, or what we would have known in years past as Burma. And Mim gives her testimony. She's going to Florida State University. She works for the government of Myanmar, and she said, "They sent me here to get a master's degree in business, and so that I can go back and help work for the government." She said, "But let me tell you about my life." She said, "I am saved today, on my way to heaven, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ," gave her testimony. I mean, just a great salvation testimony. She said, "I got saved because my parents got saved. And my parents got saved because my grandparents got saved. And," she said, "and my grandparents got saved because my great-grandparents got saved." All right, now you got her parents, her grandparents, her great-grandparents. And she said, "And my great-grandparents got saved because my great-great-grandparents got saved when Adoniram Judson came to Burma." Now you're talking 1812 when Adoniram Judson left America to go to Burma and preached, ended up in Burma preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 200 years later, 5 generations later, stood the fruit. I don't know about you, but I got to thinking about, thank God Adoniram Judson delivered the gospel to Burma. But I would love to have been the guy that gave Adoniram Judson money to get on the boat. Because 200 years later, after Judson's going in heaven, and whoever got him there is going in heaven, there's still fruit abounding to that account. Why? Because somebody paid the delivery fee to have the gospel delivered. Last night, my wife gets a text from a pastor's wife, friend of ours, Brother Leonard Ludwig. You know Brother Ludwig? And Mrs. Ludwig said, "We were out today visiting, and we came across a young man, called his name and said he was saved when you were pastoring in Gypsy. You're 25 years later. Fruit that remains." What did Jesus say? "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should" what? "Remain." I would like to have been the guy that gave Adoniram Judson the money to pay his fee, his fare to get on the ship to go to the Orient, because 200 years later, there's still fruit. You could tell that story about different places all over the world. Why? The gospel got delivered. Somebody got it. But the only way they got it is somebody paid the fee for the carrier to take the gospel to the other side of the world. Amen? Question is, are you willing to pay the fee? Are you willing to pay the fee? The second question is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, "Well, I've been in church for a long time. I didn't ask you that. I'd ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you died right now, do you know you'd go to heaven?" Because this morning, if you don't, God delivered you the gospel. And you need to get saved. Third question is this: when's the last time you delivered the gospel to somebody? When's the last time you handed somebody a tract or witnessed to them and delivered the gospel to somebody?